If you need expert financial advice you can both understand and trust on your savings and investments, retirement planning, equity release, or life and health insurance, talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures, independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk.
I'm off my jack, keep your hands off of my stack.
Jobs in Kent.com.
Find suppliers and quote for work with local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
RIFT Research and Development. Innovation tax rewards for small businesses. RIFTResearch.com. RIFT Research and Development. Reuniting innovators and business tax credits. RIFTResearch.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 29th of September with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jules Serkin. We have been absolutely inundated with
busy
tweets today. I even saw a tweet about selfie sticks. Apparently, Peter has got a big one. Apparently, Julie. Yeah. So, thank you for that, Peter.
Let's not have any innuendo in the show,
Julie. It's an 80-foot one, apparently.
Wow. Oh, really?
An 80-foot selfie stick.
Well, how does he fit that in his handbag?
Well, if Peter runs Hawkeye, which is a drone photography company.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a bit worried about these drones, are you? What do you think, Julie? They're just zooming around
like
everywhere.
I don't like being spied on, no.
No, I think it's a... Do you know what happened? You don't like being spied on. I did a tweet. I'll show you the picture after the show. I was in my kitchen mincing around doing something in the morning. And I've got a first floor kitchen, which you'll see when we have lunch together and things. And suddenly, I looked out the window of my first floor kitchen window, and there was a man up a telegraph pole looking straight in at me.
He wasn't after your pears, was he?
No, he was a BT, open reach.
Oh, blimey.
And he was dangling. And but, I mean, I often walk about stalkers and that. And I just,
oh, God.
I know. And you don't think.
Imagine the claim for that, for damages, huh?
But it was
poor man.
So I haven't got any blinds. I might get some blinds, do you think? Maybe you'll design some for me.
So Peter Wood has said, Julie, I have a rather large selfie stick, don't I? It's 80 foot long, and that's 99 Hawkeye 99 on the Twitter.
I know Hawkeye.
Yeah, Hawkeye. Peter does aerial photography, and obviously with big selfie sticks too.
Yeah, nice one. Good photography. I've seen his work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so nice one. We've also had a tweet from Samson Gas, as Jules mentioned earlier, but they said, hi from us at Samson Gas. A really interesting show today on the Business Bunker. Thank you. So thank you to Danny and the team at Samson.
I have to jump in there just for once during the show, just to get my two pennies. Samson Gas was amazing because he lives quite a long way from me. I think he's Sevenoaksy way, isn't he?
Well, he's certainly West Kent area.
And, you know, finding a plumber in Whitstable is really difficult.
Not a plumber.
No, I know.
How many times? He's a heating engineer.
He's a heating engineer. Engineer.
We've been through this.
I know. I don't know why I call him plumber. It's things that connect, you know, to boilers and that. So he just came to the rescue. He was a darling, an absolute darling. And I left him because I had to go out. And, you know, he'd locked everything up, turned the lights off. Put his little mug of tea on the stairs to go up to the kitchen. Now, I had another guy who was hopeless, who won't be named. He left the light on, so it was on all day because I'd rushed out, hadn't locked up, and left the cup of tea rotting in a bush somewhere. You know, it's just little things, isn't it? But also, Samson Gas is reliable and he's got a brain.
He's a good man, Danny.
He's a darling.
He's a really good man.
Yes.
We've had a tweet from Cascade Insurance that says, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, great show today, and also really enjoyed the Periscope coverage. Would love a shout out for Cascade Insurance here in Ashford.
The way they say today is a great show.
Yeah, well, it isn't normally.
What about last week?
Guests. It's you normally ruin it. He did say that, but he ran out of 140 characters. Anyway, you've interrupted once again, so I have to read the whole thing all over again because you interrupted. He said, great show and Periscope coverage. We'd love a shout out for Cascade Insurance here in Ashford. Thank you very much, Mark. So, Mark, feel free. There's a shout out for Cascade Insurance insurance brokers based in Ashford. And we've also had a tweet from a new listener, Vuv, I think that's how you pronounce it, V-U-V-E, Vuv Creative, and that's also their Twitter handle, Vuv Creative, who say, we're tuned into the Business Wonka show, and we'd love a shout out, please. We're a creative, responsive web design and development company in Maidstone. So consider yourselves shouted out.
We do like to hear of a new business and a new listener, don't we, on the show?
We do. Have you got an email to read?
Yes, I have.
Are you finished playing with your phone?
Well, I'm tweeting someone. So, Thanet and East Kent Chamber Limited, managing change, they say. East Kent Chambers Conference, and it's in Sandwich, which is on Tuesday the 6th of October. It's at 10:15 to 3 p.m. and it's organised by Dover District Chamber of Commerce in liaison with Thanet and the East Kent Chamber. And the keynote speaker is going to be Victoria Clayland, who's the chief cashier of the Bank of England. Do you know Victoria, Paul?
I do.
Thought you might hobnob with her. And she is the 32nd person to occupy this prestigious post since 1694. And Victoria said, my role covers far more than signing.
That's yesterday afternoon.
What's that?
1694.
Yesterday afternoon? I don't get that.
It's five. Oh.
Can I read this?
Oh, go on.
See, you're interrupting.
I know, I'm getting my own.
She
back.
Says, my role covers far more than signing the banknotes. So she actually signs the banknotes.
She signs the banknotes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they checked out her writing first. She works in a close liaison with retailers, financial institutions, cash in transit firms, and UK companies of all sizes. And Victoria will brief delegates on changes in our currency planned for the next 3 years, including the introduction of polymer banknotes. Have you noticed that the £5 notes are getting scarce, girls?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Quite, you know, when I get one, I get quite excited now. also, briefing delegates will be Des Kingsley, who's the MD of Thanet Earth, which is the UK's largest greenhouse complex and a market leader in the commercial application of hydroponics. Thanet Earth is part of the Fresca Group, which has combined annual sales of more than 500 million. The post office is undergoing the most radical change since it was established in 1660 by Charles II. Do you remember that, Paul?
I do. I was there.
Thought you might. You were his right-hand man.
I was.
Post office communications director Mark Davies will outline how the UK's largest retailer is managing its £1 billion a year business to secure its future as a multi-channel company serving SMEs. Also, I'm getting jaw ache here. It's a long one, this. Dr. Alison Hoyle, who's head of strategic planning at Southern Water, and they're responsible for long-term planning. Southern Water provides 4.5 million people with water services across the southeast, including East Kent. And Alison will tell us of both challenges and opportunities that arise in a changing world. Is that drinking water that Southern Water do, not sewage? Because
yeah.
We've got two, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
I always get them mixed up.
Well, you don't want to do that, it'll taste horrible.
No, it would be a bit brown. but you know, I live quite near a sewage plant in Swalecliffe. Last year, Emma Pullen, who's the director of British Hovercraft, which we need, don't we, to get across from Whitstable to Southend. British Hovercraft joined Stella McCartney and Elizabeth Murdoch as one of the management's Today's magazine's top 35 business women under 35. Emma will outline how Europe's largest manufacturer of leisure hovercraft is adapting to a changing market. Well, that's interesting because we love a hovercraft on this show. Right, so this is just to recap. It's 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. It's on Tuesday the 6th of October, Sandwich, bit of a bunker clash. You can listen again to Bunker on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. And you need to go to doverchamber.co.uk to find out more. There will be hot drinks and a cooked meal during the lunchtime break. Tickets cost £60 and you can email admin@tekc.co.uk. Use the subject line Chamber Conference 2015.
Thank you.
I really have jaw ache after that.
Thank you for that. Well, I'll tell you what, you can be quiet for half an hour now.
Yes.
While we talk to our fabulous next guest on the Business Monkey Show.
Yes.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome the lovely Julie Anderson of RAP Office Contracts and Emma Cattell. Catterall. I do beg your pardon. Right. Emma Catterall of Michael Park Surveyors. Ladies, good afternoon.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello. Lovely to see you. Julie's been taking really dodgy photographs of me all day. There's one under the desk.
Well, someone wondered if you had a frock on, didn't
they? So you proved I didn't.
So I proved you didn't.
Yeah, thank you for that, Julie. I'm glad you did.
Literally below the belt.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. Oh, I like it. Hey, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome you onto the show. We're going to talk a little bit about property, design, dilapidations, and a few other bits and pieces.
And if you've got any questions, listener, you can just tweet in to Julie, any design.
Yeah,
dilemmas.
if you tweet using the hashtag BBunker, and you tweet them to me, Vanilla Web, as well as Julie, then we will read them out and we'll try and answer them and we'll do whatever we can.
We'll put Julie on the spot.
Yeah, we will. We like putting Julie on the spot.
Yeah.
Yes, I noticed.
But very quickly, for the two people in the whole of the southeast of England that don't know about RAP, just give us a quick overview of RAP.
Well, we've been going 28 years and we are experts in creating amazing workspaces, schools, colleges, care homes. But predominantly we work in offices and we've got a design team. Everything happens in our office. So if there's any changes, it's quick. And on site, it happens and there's no delays. And that's how it works.
Fantastic. Good stuff. And we're joined by Emma, as I said. Emma, just give us a quick overview of Michael Parks.
Well, Michael Parks have been going for 30 years this year, so a little Blimey. Bit of a celebration there. I'm quite new to the team, and I'm heading up the agency and the property management department. We also do valuations, planning, that kind of thing as well. So any property needs, give us a call.
Fantastic. Good stuff. So we're kind of talking a little bit about different aspects of property, ladies. Let's kick off with dilapidations and an explanation of what a dilapidation is.
Well, from my side of the fence, I'm working with tenants who are moving in and out or new purchasers of property. And there is a big grey area around dilapidations. Mm. And whilst all commercial agents understand this completely, we all do get hung up in talking our own jargon. Mm-hmm. So I often go out with clients to look at space and they'll be moving in or out and asking, well, what's the tenant moving out going to do to this because it's a mess, or have I got to put all this right because, look, the lights are hanging out the wall, or I don't like this carpet, who's going to pay for the carpet? And there's a big grey area, and I still think it's not clear, but the agents that we work with, we try and make sure that we ask questions for our tenants that if I don't understand, then maybe the tenant won't understand. And it's very important to get it clear because people can waste costs and time trying to understand something that really isn't our legal expertise. But I wanted to bring Emma on today because she does talk sense. And when I ask her a question, if I don't understand it, I know that I can say,
sure,
that's not right. A tenant's not going to understand that. So we thought it would be good to just share some property jargon in English.
Absolutely. No, absolutely would. And you're absolutely right as well. And it is a whole grey area, isn't it? You move out of a building and the landlord says, I want you to put it back as it was when you moved in. And you go, really? You want me to make that much of a mess? but it's meaningless, isn't it? I've moved into buildings that were dreadful. And then, you know, do you want me to put it back like that? Or would you prefer me to leave it as I've decorated it, you know? So, Emma, from your point of view, as a firm of professional surveyors, what does it mean to you?
It's really interesting to hear it from your points of view, obviously. When a tenant moves out, they have a responsibility under the terms of the lease to leave that property in good repair.
Right.
Now, maybe, as you just mentioned, when they took that property on, it could well have been in a mess. Mm-hmm. But they need to be careful, really, of what the lease says, because even if it was a mess, the lease might say they need to put it into repair and to keep it into repair. Mm. So it might be their responsibility throughout the term to have kept it in really good repair. When they finish their lease, when they've agreed with the landlord that they're going to move out, they do need to undertake what's called dilapidations.
Right.
That normally involves a surveyor coming in and they'll make a list of all the, wants of repair. So if there's a broken window, they'll list that. If the carpet needs to be replaced because it's filthy and worn, they'll list that. Every single thing they can see in every room, they'll list it down and then they'll refer to the lease, which says, this clause says you've got to keep it in repair, or this clause says you've got to decorate it every 3 years.
Right.
So that kind of thing. And it will be their responsibility to do that. It is a little bit more complex than that because there might be alterations that a tenant's made. Mm. And this is where I think it's really interesting to have Julie's point of view as well. Mm. Because if a tenant's made alterations and they're really good alterations, then yeah. I agree with Julie. Why take them out?
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about that in a moment. I want to ask you a question at that point, just on jargon, but it's a really interesting point you make. And I'll give Julie some thinking time so that I know she doesn't need it. But can you also, just for the listeners' benefits, mm-hmm. tell us the difference between a repairing and non-repairing lease and what that actually means?
Yeah, most of the time the tenant will be fully responsible for the repairs in their unit. So let's say, for example, they're one unit in a whole big building.
Yep.
They'll be responsible for everything inside their unit. So it could be an office, for example.
Yep.
If they share that office building with maybe five other tenants, they're not going to be responsible for communal areas. So that might be hallways, stairs, or the lift, that kind of thing. The landlord looks after that side of things, and the likelihood is they'll pay a service charge towards that. But everything inside the unit that they occupy, they're responsible for.
Right, so if the toilet gets broken, they have to replace the toilet.
Exactly.
If a tap breaks down, they have to put a new washer in it.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. What about the externals of a building? Like, so if the gutter comes down in a storm or whatever, is that the same kind of issue, that if it's a multi-tenanted building, it's normally down to the landlord?
The likelihood is, if it's a multi-tenanted building, yes, there'll probably be a service charge, because that gutter's not just for the benefit of that one tenant.
Yeah.
It's serving all tenants. It's keeping the building watertight, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, in that kind of situation, it probably would be the landlord's responsibility. They might have a managing agent. So ring the managing agent, they organise for it to be fixed. You pay for it via the service charge. Mm. If you've got a shop, so it's just one building, might have a first floor, might not, but you occupy the whole thing, you will probably be responsible for the whole of that building.
Right.
So it's pretty important to know what you're taking on. Exactly.
When you're taking on a lease. Exactly. And there's quite a few other bits and pieces of legal stuff that goes on around leases, isn't there?
Yeah.
You've got things like the Landlord and Tenant Act.
Absolutely.
And indeed, whether you have opted in for VAT or not.
Yeah, VAT is one of the things that might be opted in. That probably depends on your business. It might also depend on the landlord's business, their company, how it's set up, that kind of thing.
Hmm.
And it does also come into dilapidations, if I can flick back to that.
Yeah.
Section 18, it's a bit of jargon there, but it's something I know well. That basically puts a cap, if you like, on the amount of dilapidations that a landlord can claim.
Right.
There's some technical speak that it's not supposed to exceed the diminution of value of the building. Now, even most surveyors don't know what that means.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they should, but it's pretty hard to value. In simple terms, it pretty much means you've got to put it into good condition, but it shouldn't exceed a certain value. And you might do the work yourself.
Right.
You might have a tenant that's got a really robust argument for saying, actually, no, I don't have to do that. I've got a schedule condition. And my schedule condition says I don't have to put it back into any better state than when I took it on.
Absolutely.
So that's other things to be aware of as well.
Absolutely. I do really want to come to Julie and hear what she's got to say, because she's really cool. But I want to get a few of these things kind of out, because they're the type of things that a lot of businesses say to me that they don't understand at face value without going employing a very expensive lawyer, and they don't know whether they're asking the right questions. So having you here is really useful. Could you just give us a very brief overview of what being in or out of the Landlord and Tenant Act actually means?
Absolutely, no problem. Again, it's more jargon, so I can appreciate why it confuses people. What I would call inside the Act means you're protected by the Landlord and Tenant Act.
Yeah.
So when your lease comes to an end, say in 5 years' time, you have an automatic right under law to renew your lease.
Right.
The landlord can't just change his mind and say, do you know what, I don't want to rent it to you anymore.
Yeah.
He has to renew your lease. But there is negotiation to be had. Obviously, you might have to update the rent. There might be a few clauses that you want to discuss. And more importantly, if the landlord is going to refuse to renew the lease, he only has a certain number of rights to rely on. Now, that could be if you are a really bad tenant and you persistently pay your rent late, then the landlord can say, you know what, I'm not going to renew your lease. I'm going to rely on that ground. I'll serve you a formal notice. that's not going to happen. Mm. Or it could be something like he wants to occupy the building himself, or maybe he wants to redevelop it. So there are reasonable reasons if you like, and that he can refuse to. But in the main, people will be able to renew their lease.
Right.
If you then come to what I would call outside of the Act, that means you don't have the protection of the law. So when your lease comes to an end, say, on the 25th of December, now bear in mind, 25th of December, many leases do actually come to an end. Instead of eating your Christmas dinner, you might have to be moving out of your property. And it is that strict. You have to be out of that property that day.
I'm laughing. I'm laughing for the simple reason I actually got served a notice in an office I was in to leave on the 24th of December.
There you go.
Yeah, it was really funny.
It happens.
But presumably there's notice. You wouldn't just get it on that day. You'd have a month's notice, wouldn't you? Or you'd know.
Well, hopefully you would know.
Because you know when your lease expires.
So fingers crossed you do remember. But you'd be surprised at how many tenants do phone us up, you know, week, 2 weeks before. So I just didn't realise.
Emma, is there still a sitting tenancy thing?
No,
is that
really.
Because when I was, I'm so
no,
old.
That is the Landlord and Tenant Act these days. We're talking commercial property here.
Yeah. Just interesting. So you don't get that with a commercial property, that if you've been in it for a long time.
You do. It's the Landlord and Tenant Act.
Okay.
That's what it's called.
If you're inside the Act, so that protection I was talking about, you can do what's called holding over after your lease. So you would stay in the property after your lease has expired while you were negotiating with the landlord, and that's called a holding over period. But going back to outside the Act, you can't hold over. You have to be out on that day. One of the benefits to the landlord of that is it puts them in quite a strong negotiating position.
Yeah.
Because you imagine a tenant that has forgotten that they need to vacate in 4 weeks' time.
Yeah.
You know, how many businesses are ready to do that? they've all of a sudden got to negotiate with this landlord that says, well, actually, this is what the rent's going to be. I will give you a new lease, but if you don't agree to it, you've got to be out now.
Is there any benefit to the tenant of being outside the Landlord and Tenant Act?
Possibly. It would be, you could argue that you would pay a lower rent for being outside the Act, because really it's a benefit to the landlord. And obviously the downside to the tenant is that you don't have that protection.
Yeah.
So if you don't have protection, why should you pay as much as someone that does?
Yeah, exactly.
So it could be a good tool in a way for the tenant to negotiate a lower rent.
Cool. Okay, thank you for clearing that up. That's really useful. Let's turn to Julie now and go back to the question you first asked Julie, which I've forgotten, which was Julie's thoughts on dilapidations and what that means from a design point of view. Sorry, I've just remembered we were talking about things like alterations that a tenant's made to a building that have enhanced the building, and whether you keep them or move them out or you know, change them or whatever.
Yeah, well, the best thing for anybody, I always think, is if we're introduced to a tenant through an agent, then we always ask, who's the outgoing tenant? Can we connect with them and their surveyor? And it's not to always try and pitch work. It's about if we can work effectively between the two, so one tenant's got to take down a load of partitions and reinstate doorways and stuff like that, and then that's going to affect the carpet flooring because you take the walls down. It's about understanding what they've got to have taken down and then understanding what the new tenant wants going in. So we might design an office for new tenant, but we always ask about, can we talk to the old tenant? Because if he's got to take down all the walls and then we've got to put them all back up, there's two lots of fit-out companies going in there.
Yeah.
And it just slows things down. You know, everybody dreads moving their business or expanding. It's a great opportunity. But
it's huge.
It's huge to your business, because clients would like to be able to hand it over to people, but they've still got to hold on to a lot of control because they're worrying all the time. Whereas if you can, this is what we do a lot of, we try and say, you know, let's just talk to the outgoing tenant, because if we haven't got to take those walls down, or we can reconfigure the space that will work for new tenant, it might just be that the old tenant pays a bit of money towards the dilapidations and doesn't have to worry about having all the work done and can literally just walk away. That money goes over to, say, the agent, and then this tenant can have that towards his works. It's quicker, it's much easier, but It doesn't often happen a lot, but it's something we try and promote to understand. One going out and one coming in.
But you're also gaining from the previous tenants' experiences of the building as well, whether there's drafts or noise or, you know, reasons logistically why you would take a wall down or need one.
I actually had a really strange situation. I moved offices about 9 months ago. And when we went to look at the new premises that we were moving into, it had recently been refurbished, recarpeted, lovely. It was a very big organisation with a lot, very deep pockets, that have made a really nice job of the building, and it looked lovely.
Good outgoing tenant.
Yeah, and we looked at the building and went, perfect, that's fabulous. We signed the lease and da-da-da-da-da. A couple of weeks before we were due to move in, I said, can I have the key to a look round? I want to... And I walked in and the place had been gutted. It was empty. Everything was gone. It was completely gone. So I rang the landlord and I went, they've gutted it. And he went, really? So I rang them up and said, you've gutted it. And they went, oh, yeah. He said, but we didn't want you to do that. We wanted you to leave it in a state that you acquired it. And I went, oh, okay then. So they came and put it all back.
Goodness me.
Yeah. Which
it's
was lucky for me.
A waste of money.
What a bizarre waste of money and communication. And that's kind of the question I wanted to ask. You know, as a potential incoming tenant, I look at a property. The ex-tenant, or shortly to be ex-tenant, has been in the building quite a while. They've done a number of alterations. At that point, as a new tenant, can I influence what, you know, and say to the landlord, hey, listen, I like that. Hmm. I want you to, no matter what their lease says, I want you to leave that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, do I say...
It should be about negotiation.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I think that's where Julie was coming from, was saying that she likes to talk to all the parties.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. It's just not, you're not wasting time and money then.
Yeah, because if you don't need to take that wall down, or you could put that, you could live with that wall being there, then you haven't got to affect the carpet, and it just saves everybody money.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from somebody called Michael Watson, who's a property litigator.
Oh, and, yes, he tweeted us earlier.
Yeah, and he's just said dilapidations equals claims for damages properly recoverable at law.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
And whilst one of the views is dilapidations, you've got to go and do this work that we were just speaking about, the other way to deal with it is just to claim damages.
Mm. This is Emma speaking.
The landlord could say, do you know what, I think it's going to cost 20,000, say, to do that work, but I know you don't want to do the work. You've got to move on quickly. If you pay the landlord £20,000, we'll call it quits.
Right.
One of the reasons I think that's good is because this was where Julie could come in, really. If that landlord's got the £20,000 to put the office back into good condition, then he's got the next tenant that's come along and said, OK, I like the office, but I want to do X, Y, and Z alterations. Mm. There's a bit of room for negotiation there, because
absolutely,
that tenant could ask for a rent-free period, maybe equal to the £20,000 the landlord's taken in.
Yep.
So he's got that money to put it into good condition. He's given that to the next tenant, and then obviously they've got their office designer. It pays for their alterations. Mm. Everyone's happy. The outgoing tenant didn't have to do anything, but they have paid for what they should do in accordance with their contract. The landlord has got payment for that, and he's passed it on to the new tenant.
Absolutely.
Do you find that happens a lot?
It's a real mixture, to be honest, in experience. It really does depend on the tenant, and it does depend on how well the landlord communicates with that tenant. If the landlord says, actually, I think it's going to cost £30,000 to put that office right, and the tenant says, no, it's not, it's going to cost £20,000, then it's more in that tenant's interest to actually do the work. And then you're missing out on maybe that opportunity before you market the unit to get the new tenant's point of view.
It's about talking, isn't it? It's about communicating.
Yeah.
It's about getting all the parties together and coming up with a sensible solution.
Totally agree, and this is why it's quite useful to do something like this. It's hearing the other side, the other point of view, and discussing with more than one party.
Absolutely.
What might be best for everyone.
And you know, if you do that in a non-confrontational way, it's got to work out for everybody in the long term, hasn't it? Because it just makes sense. But we don't always do things sensibly.
It's a timing issue as well, to be fair. You know, if that outgoing tenant has done the work, they've taken down all those partitions, then the agent puts it on the market, you might not have had that new tenant come along. So at that point, the agent doesn't necessarily know that they're going to come in and want to put up the same things again.
Julie, what kind of areas are you finding that people are plumping for now with offices? Are they going more for the out-of-town where there's lots of parking and, you know, sort of the... what I call estates, or are they trying to get central, or does it depend on the business?
Well, in central London, they don't really have that choice, really. So there's a lot of office sharing going on up there, a lot of shared business space that actually doesn't even look like shared business space. So it might be a great big room and lots of desks, and there might be six people from one desk sharing a load of desks, and you don't really know that you're in a shared office space. Mm-hmm. So it's very open plan and very modern and hot desky in London. Mm. There does seem to be a lot of expanding and developing businesses in Kent, I think. There's a lot more going on in Kent than what there used to be. Mm. And people are quite happy to be in Kent. Ebbsfleet's a great connector to London, and yeah, it's so quick to just get there. Yeah. There's a massive development going to happen at Ebbsfleet, you know, with Paramount and everything. And, oh, I went to a meeting the other day, 600,000 houses or something.
In the Ebbsfleet Garden City, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there's going to be a lot of office space, and there's talk of trying to make Ebbsfleet really like St Pancras, so a bit of a shopping train station.
Pancras is lovely. I was most impressed. Yeah. I went through the
beautiful,
other day.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, mm, very nice.
You could spend the day there. It's lovely.
Yeah, very stylish. I sat down and had my lunch on a little bench.
Oh, did you play the piano in St Pancras?
Yeah, play the piano, danced on it.
Right, yeah, she made 10 quid on the day.
Another thing, sorry, Paul, just one more thing. Do you ever recycle stuff? So do you go in and take stuff out and then sell it on to other clients?
Yeah, we have a lot of companies that arrive, our furniture's no good, can you remove that? We don't charge loads to remove it, but we have got to pay our driver and somebody for a day to go and hump it into the van.
Yeah.
But that's kind of all we charge. And then we'll give that to charity because there is actually no money in second-hand furniture. And right, that is really sad because I know a lot of my clients will spend, I don't know, £175 on a desk. And next month, you know, I've got a client who has had to relocate out of Kent because they've had some investment taken away from them and they're moving out. And they've only been there 6 months. Their desk looks brand new. I can't even give them £20 for it. And I don't know, you know, people do think, oh, no, we've just been ripped off by the furniture company. Mm. We were charged too much. But you know what you can get for a chair on eBay. You can't get anything anymore.
No.
So we do recycle a lot of furniture into charities because they do seem to want it and they will sell it on. We do recycle all the materials that we take off site. So we have a waste transfer licence. So when we come back to the office, we'll have split the partitions and the flooring and the cardboard boxes, and it'll all go into separate skips, and then we get a little ticket at the end of it to say we've saved the planet by X percent or whatever.
Cool.
But, yeah, that's another job in itself, separating the waste. But
I want to talk to you about some other things and some design things and talk about general office space as well and follow up on some of the things you were saying. But I'm also trying to keep track of the questions that are coming in on Twitter.
Great.
And this isn't so much a question, it's more a statement from Russell Burton Lawrence, who's known as the Barrister Broker on Twitter. And he said, listening into a very interesting and enjoyable show on the Business Bunker Show, my own experience of dilapidations, total nightmare.
And it doesn't need to be.
No. It doesn't always have to be that bad.
I know, having just admonished Jules for this, that we're talking about commercial properties, but I've got a young son at the moment, 20, who's a student, and my eldest son when he was a student, and student houses are with that kind of thing. I have never, ever, ever got my deposit back from anyone, ever.
No, but never have you noticed the way students live?
I know, but
not all students.
Yeah, no. All students do.
No.
All students do.
I take umbrage with that.
I don't care. All students live badly, without any shadow of a doubt. But with one of my kids' flats, his mother and I spent 14 hours cleaning the flat after they moved out.
Wow.
And they still tried to claim that it wasn't in good repair.
Yeah.
And it was a damn sight better than when he took it over. But that's just another moment.
But then how far are you going to pursue
exactly
a couple of £100?
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah,
that's the other why it's a good thing, earner, really.
The other real rip-off is now that these landlords are making the students move in June.
Yeah.
Mm. My son had to take it
and
on in June.
And pay 12 months and you're only there for like 8,
outrageous.
9, 10.
Yeah.
But again, as I say, that's not commercial property, which is what we're really discussing today. I want to There's a couple of things that I want to follow up on that you mentioned, and Julie, one of the things that interested me for all kinds of reasons was your mentioning about the London market and shared office space and community space. And as you know, I run a community space in Canterbury, and that's very popular to the point that we've run out of space. One of the things is, in business at the moment, is commercial property, especially in Kent, is becoming harder and harder to find. And especially as with so much of the economy now is start-up businesses and small micro businesses, the kind of space that can be occupied by small businesses is really difficult. Now, you do have the whole serviced office industry that's going on. There's one or two community workspaces like Fruitworks. But from both of your points of view, what are you seeing in the commercial space in and around Kent? What's actually happening from your point of view?
I can see. Well, there's a lot going over to be residential, and I know that that's this relaxing of laws, isn't it?
That's in place until May 2016, isn't it?
Yeah, it is having a big impact on the commercial market and business market, because people are just ringing. I mean, we have a lot of connections with agents, so and a lot of people know that we can help them find space as well. And but we get a lot of calls, people saying, I've really been looking and I really need this and my business is cramped and we've got 25 people in a space for 10 and help. How can you make our space bigger by design? Well, some things we can't do. We can't be magicians sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is a real problem because people are moving out now. I mean, Ashford's benefiting from this because Ashford is now getting a lot of inward investment and a lot of people are happy to move to Ashford.
Yeah.
But in Maidstone, there's a lot of business going on in Maidstone and people are just not knowing where to go. And
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the Maidstone Borough Council Gateway, they've just opened a bit of a business hub. And I know that a lot of people have gone in there, but it's great for 2 and 3 and 4. But what about if you're 10?
Yeah, exactly.
10's not big, but where do you go?
Yeah, exactly. No, I suffer from that personally as well. We're out of space in my
I don't know whether you know anything about the ad scene offices that are on Wincheap. They've been empty for 10 years? About 10 years. Huge, huge place. We don't know why.
It's one of those things. You look at it because it looks like a fairly modern building. Built probably in the
70s?
late 70s, I would say. It's a
huge
fairly modern
space.
Building. A big building on its own with its own car park around it. And it's for sale freehold. And the price has been plummeting in the 10 years it's been on the market. And it's one of those, every time you inquire about it, everybody goes, you don't want to touch that. But nobody seems to know why, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But it's a big space, right on Wincheap by Dunnell Mill.
But then it's Canterbury. Yeah. Bit of a nightmare to get in and out of it. It's real traffic problem.
Yeah,
isn't
there is.
Is it any different to Maidstone or Ashford?
Canterbury's worse. Canterbury's the worst of all of them because you can't avoid it. To get anywhere in East Kent, you have to go through Canterbury. Anyway, I want to kind of move on a little bit, but there's quite a few people saying things on Twitter about the things that we've been talking about so far. But you're right that office space is becoming cramped. The government's new scheme that allows non-planning permission to turn things into domestic properties has had a huge impact on the commercial space. That is due to end in May 2016. I suspect the government will renew it, probably. Which is okay from a housing point of view, but not much use from a commercial space point of view. And one of the things that has been said to me, and I don't know what you're feeling about this, is I was talking to the leader of a local council recently who said that they'd approved quite a number of schemes over the last few years for the development of office blocks, but they never get developed.
No.
And I said, well, no, they're probably redeveloping them as housing because it's easier to shift. I don't know what you guys think about new developments of office space in Kent.
It's quite interesting. From my point of view, I see how many properties I get onto my books to let out to people. Obviously, that's what I do in the agency side of things. Recently, all of a sudden, I seem to have had several people call up, I'd like to rent my office. Fantastic. We've got a number that will be going onto the website very soon. I've also had quite a few more people inquiring about office space. Certainly on Medway City Estate, which is where we're based, there is still a lot of office space around. I haven't actually seen, although I've heard a lot of office space has been changed into residential, I've not seen everyone fighting at the door yet, as it were, to take the office space that is vacant.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm interested in, actually, is whether that's because the office space isn't suitable.
Hmm.
One of the reasons might be parking.
Yeah.
Parking seems to be a nightmare everybody, yeah. everywhere for everybody.
Well,
sorry.
Somebody said to me the other day about Medway City Estate. Yeah. They said, we're looking for premises in Rochester, and the only thing available is Medway City Estate, and we're not going there.
Oh, that's a real shame. Medway yeah. City Estate's a fantastic place, I yeah, think. Yeah. So, it's a business place.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So I said, oh, really? Well, because I knew someone had an office there, and I couldn't see anything wrong with it. And I said, oh, it's a nightmare to get in and out of it. So I don't know.
I've never had trouble getting in.
Yeah.
It can take about 10, 15 minutes, maybe more sometimes, to get off the estate. Do you know my advice there, though?
Yeah.
Just work a little bit later.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's no traffic.
I think a lot of these things, it comes down to what you're looking for and what you do and what you are as a business and where you are and how yeah. you're doing things, you know, and where your staff, we talked about this earlier, where your staff live and, you know, all
for
kinds
sure.
of things. There's a whole heap of different reasons why people take different types of properties.
Absolutely.
You know. Some people want to be in the centre of a town and they'll live with the bad parking and a poor traffic management because they're near to the shops.
Yeah.
A lot of other people go, do you know what? I don't want to go anywhere near a town. I want to be on an out-of-town special industrial or commercial development that's just got loads of car parking spaces, and I rock up outside the door and walk in the office. You know, so you pay your money, you take your choice, really.
That's
to the
right.
largest
it's,
thing.
It is similar to residential in that way, isn't it?
Yeah,
every property's got different attributes, different
yeah.
sizes, different locations, different quality mm. of decoration, different services.
Yeah.
For every place, there'll be the right person.
Absolutely. And we're kind of fast running out of time, and I want to just cover a few other bits, although Judy's going to come back on in a few weeks' time and we'll do some more stuff on this. But I just want to get a feel for this, because one of the things that I do know about RAP is that you do have an eye for design, and you do come up with some funky stuff. I mean, I retweet some of the stuff that you've designed for people. Just give us a bit of a flavour for your kind of design eye, Julie. I know that's a really silly, horrible question.
No,
but you've done some interesting stuff.
It sounds corny when we try and promote that we're quite good at design.
Yeah.
Well, we are very good at design.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of people in our office that have all got a lot of design in them. And so together we come up with the craziest ideas, and then we have to scale back down. But we're just designing a boardroom table that will have an overhead steel frame, and it will be people sitting around the boardroom table on swings.
Right, okay.
So that's a bit different because that's for a social media gang. So they want to have a creative space. We've done lots of breakout areas for schools and in the summer holidays, and really nice that schools are actually coming back to invest in their teachers, because I think staff rooms went out the window and teachers sat at the children's tables.
Yeah.
But we've done some really funky different colour kitchens, multicolour kitchens. So we've got a grey and a white and a lime green kitchen gone in, and it's like not every alternate door, but we've got a lot of that colour going into a kitchen with like floor divisions in contrasting lime green and black, and then some, you know, very unusual kind of I don't know how to explain it, different chairs, so everything doesn't match.
Oh yeah, that's really
right.
hit
very
now
in.
I love that. Yeah,
yeah.
Mismatched and
yeah.
the old statement yeah. chair too.
And even in the care homes now, it's not just about making it look like a care home. The care homes will want to look like kind of hotels.
It's kind of interesting.
And it's really nice.
I went to a dining room the other day and they've done a fabulous refurb. I won't mention it because it was just one thing. And we went into the dining room. The whole hotel was gorgeous. And we went into the hotel and all the chairs matched. And it made it seem really dated.
Yeah.
It was one thing yeah. that sort of dated it to me.
Yeah. Very formal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you think, oh, I don't really fancy that.
Yeah.
But lots of contrasting fabrics
yeah.
and leathers together.
Textiles.
Yeah. Mm. Lot of textile design. So we're having to get more into actually understanding products a lot more in our in our company as well, because it's not just about putting the colours together now. We're actually picking the fabrics, and we've got walls and walls of fabrics and cupboards of flooring, and the more people will hear about us are saying, oh, let me come in and show you my products. So we have to remember a lot.
What's popular for office flooring apart from carpet?
Oh, a lot of Karndean. So it's a lot of
Karndean's
polished
good.
Concrete look, and that's in a vinyl, so you don't have to have concrete. But it will look polished concrete with a little bit of a sparkle in there.
Because the thing with Karndean that I've discovered, because I've got it, is found out that you can't steam it.
Well, there are lots of options on that are products that we've got. So, yeah, cool. People can still contact us on that.
Look, we're going to explore this later on the Business Bunker show and go into some more details about property and design and stuff like that, because it's a fascinating subject. It's the kind of subject that's having a big impact on the businesses in Kent. Mm. For the moment, thank you so much to Julie Anderson of RAP Office Contracts and Emma Catterall of Michael Park Surveyors for joining us on the show. It's been really fascinating and really useful information and caused a real storm on Twitter because everybody's talking about it. For the moment, ladies, thank you so much indeed for joining us on the Bunker Show.
Thank you very much.
I'll tell you what, give us a quick shout out for each of your websites.
www.michaelparks.co.uk and at MPSL for Twitter.
Fantastic.
Wrapinteriors.com on the website and at Wrap Office on Twitter.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed for that.
Thank you.
We've had a couple of tweets from Whitstable Stove Shop, who says, save people money, possible grief today. My plea on Facebook. I've no idea what that's about.
He was just making sure, had a quick look before the shows. So Whitstable Stove Shop, who are in Saddleton Road, Whitstable, as you come down, lovely Mark Smith, said that make sure you get a proper site survey and that your stove or hob or whatever
is plumbed in properly.
It's HEATAS.
Right. So you can find out what Mark is saying about that by going to his Facebook page, facebook.com/Whitstable Stove Shop. And apparently Facebook is back up now,
yeah.
In case anyone was
and
wondering.
Support local, shop local.
Absolutely. Venom Tech has said, please give a shout out to Canterbury City University as they've just announced our PhD with Dr. Carol Trim. So well done.
Well done.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Nice one. Anyway, now it's time for
Channel Radio News Update.
SupplyMyBusiness.co.uk. Find suppliers and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
How has the FSB helped your business grow? Perhaps you could have benefited from tax protection insurance, used the fuel discount card, or have joined meetings from senior decision makers. Please let me know, says Alison Palmer. She is on alison.palmer, that's P-A-R-M for mother, A-R, at F for Freddy, S for sugar, B for Bertie, .org.uk. And there is a phone number which I'll read, which is 01-892-541-399, and she wants to know all about how the FSB has helped your business grow. And we've got some FSB events here, the 9th of October. This is a very important one because Paul Andrews will be there. It's the Canterbury Business Breakfast, Spitfire Ground, Canterbury. You'll hear from Canterbury City Council leader about support and advice for businesses. Paul Andrews will be talking on flexible office space. And you'll also gather information about the proposed local development, Thannington Park. Book your place now at this business breakfast. You can go on to the kentbusinessradio.co.uk to find the link to that. I'll also be there, and we'll be bringing along also retailers, because there will be a high street cut going up there, and some food is needed, so butcher, baker, grocers, etc. That's 9th of October at the Spitfire Ground, Canterbury. On the 15th of October, we have the FSB Regional AGM and call for nominations. It's at the Tudor Marriott in Maidstone. All Kent and Medway members are encouraged to attend this AGM. Book your place at the AGM. 22nd of October, networking and pension auto-enrolment briefing. That's at the Elwick Club in Ashford. Essential information from Steve Kilfoyle of Squirrel Financial Planning. And that's for all small businesses who are coming up for their pension staging date. On the 8th of October, we have the business support for Kent's young people at Oakwood House, Oakwood Park, Maidstone. A blast business networking organised by Kent Foundation. And on the 20th of October, you can meet the FSB at Kent 2020 Startup Live. Can it be that already this year?
Mm-hmm.
Kent County Showground in Detling in Maidstone. You'll hear from FSB members Ben Towers, Zoe Cairns and Roger Williams on all things digital, from social media to startups and the digital garden.
Thank you. Also, the it's not an FSB event, but in conjunction with the FSB, there's Winning and Delivering Business Overseas in conjunction with the Department of UK Trade and Investment. And that's taking place in Maidstone on Wednesday, the 30th of September. That's tomorrow, 9 a.m. To 5 p.m. And it's at the Holiday Inn Maidstone, which is in London Road, Rootham Heath. And that's near Sevenoaks. And also, there's an event, the Legacy National Women's Conference, on October the 24th and 25th. That's taking place at the Mercure Maidstone, formerly known as the Great Danes Hotel at Hollingbourne. And we are proud to bring you the first Legacy National Women's Conference that takes place on the 24th and 25th of October. It's been a year in the planning to ensure that 2 days are jam-packed with content that is delivered by women who are currently at the top of their game. And you can book your conference tickets by going to the following website, legacyconference.co.uk/2015-conference. That's legacyconference.co.uk/2015-conference. You can find all of those FSB events on the Business Bunker website under the blog pages. There is a blog that is called FSB Events, and it lists all of these events, and it has links to book your place on any and all of them.
There's an employment law update, and it's 2015 to 2016. The leading regional firm, Furley Page, highly ranked by Chambers and the Legal 500, is presenting this practical interactive workshop on employment law for Kent Invicta Chamber members and non-members. And it's suitable for all employers, no matter the size of your workforce, and includes an extensive question and answer session. And that's 8:30 a.m. to 12 o'clock. Chamber members are £80, including VAT. Non-members are £90. And it's Thursday, the 22nd of October, at the Bridgewood Manor Hotel in Chatham.
Fantastic. Are you an enterprising woman who wants to build your business through digital know-how?
Yes.
Do you want your business to be part of the digital future in Kent? Apply now for the exciting new Women's Enterprise Kent program. More women each year are feeling inspired to start or grow their businesses and create a career that works for their lifestyle. To enable you to do this, Kent County Council, in conjunction with the Government Equalities Office and leading technology experts, are bringing you a series of entrepreneurial classes and clinics. The program is running from September 2015 to March 2016. There's no cost to participants to the events, and we are looking to recruit 30 women. And the commitment is 1 day for a class clinic per month and half a day for mentoring per month. You can find out all about it by going to kent.gov.uk/Women's Enterprise Kent. So that's kent.gov.uk/Women's Enterprise Kent. Do check that out. I happen to know that 30% of all new startup businesses are started by women. And at the moment, over 80% in the last 10 years of successful businesses have been women.
Excellent.
Yeah, which is really good.
Sisters doing it themselves.
5.6 million businesses now.
It's incredible. And ongoing.
Absolutely. So if you want to participate in that event, do feel free to do so. There is a report on the Kent Business Radio website from the FSB about the outcome of their survey on whether we should leave or stay the European Union. And that is a fascinating insight into the views of small business on that subject. It is on the Kent Business Radio blog site.
And lots of blogs on there. There's also a Get Social Kent Free Open Day, Thursday 29th of October at Canterbury College in the New Dover Road, 9 to 3:30, and it's free to attend. KentInvictorChamber.co.uk for that.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Supply My Business, who says, really interesting interview with Julie and Emma. Thank you very much. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Supply My Business.
Okay, and Michael Watson, our property litigator, has tweeted again saying, it doesn't need to be difficult, just stick to the basics. Absolutely right.
I think Julie had it in a nutshell when she mentioned communication.
Absolutely, and collaboration. It's talking to each other, isn't it? Yeah. So many things are solved like that.
Yes, it's funny that, isn't it? We all forget to do that.
Absolutely, we do. Hey, coming up on Channel Radio later, we have...
Hey, this is Jamie from the New Potato Show. Join me live every Tuesday from 7 until 9 p.m. on channelradio.co.uk. We'll be exploring the best in new music from around the world, having 18 tracks and 2 hot potatoes for your listening pleasure. Tune in.
dig up.
New Potatoes with Jamie Andrews on Channel Radio.
And following on from the New Potatoes show, we have the wonderful...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So that's what's coming up later on channelradio.co.uk. Do stay tuned for that. But for the moment, we've kind of reached the end of today's Business Bunker show. And I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to our wonderful studio guest, the lovely Sam Anderson of Order Fulfillment off XUK. The equally brilliant Emma Catterall of Michael Park Surveyors, and the exquisitely lovely Julie Anderson, no relation.
Such a charmer.
Yeah, of ROP Office Contracts. Thank you so much for joining us. A huge, huge thank you to today's show sponsors, the lovely folks at Rift Accounting. But most of all, a big thank you to you, the listeners, and the businesses out there of Kent and the southeast of England. Thank you all for tweeting, emailing, and participating in the show. It's a real pleasure to talk to you every week. Jules and I will be back with you next week at the normal time, 1 o'clock, for the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. You can give us a follow by following Press Up Group, which is Jules.
At Jules Serkin.
At Jules Serkin. Or me, Vanilla Web, on the Twitter.
And you can find us on Periscope now, of course.
And you can find Jules on Periscope.
All the behind-the-scenes tackiness that goes on.
Absolutely. We have a full blog site on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. There's over 100 blogs.
Great blogs on there.
Written by a whole range of different experts in their field. So do have a look at some of those blogs and feel free to check them out and look them up. But we will be back with you next Tuesday for another edition of the Business Bunker Show. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Paul Andrews and the Kent Business Bunker on Channel Radio.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.